Radiotopia.
You didn't hear this from me, but Normal Gossip is back for a sixth season. Join host Kelsey McKinney as she shares the juiciest gossip from the real world. Each episode, she's joined by a special guest, and you might recognize a couple this season from the Radiotopia universe. Normal Gossip, named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, is out now on all your favorite podcast platforms. New episodes starting April 17th.
February 14th, 1998.
Sixth grade.
Dear diary.
Dear Jesus.
Dear sweet asswad.
Adults sharing the embarrassing things
they created as kids.
So I wrote poems about masturbation.
Before an audience
of total strangers.
I feel like an idiot.
I'm the only normal one in my entire family.
Mom, you can't read this.
These are the stories hidden inside
the pages of our past.
You're listening to the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil, and if you grew up in a wholesome small town where it seemed like everyone knew everyone, it can feel like a difficult place to come to terms with feeling different on the inside. Especially if you're like today's reader, Katie, who on the outside was a homecoming queen nominee and a varsity athlete that got straight A's and could do no wrong.
Growing up, I didn't ever think I was gay. I never thought that, but I definitely knew that I needed to keep those feelings sort of pushed down and try to be the best all-American girl I could be.
After 17 years of struggling to keep her secret, Katie left for college.
Where I started really realizing, oh shit, this isn't going away. But I do fancy girls.
Despite the newfound freedoms of college, Katie was not quite ready to declare her sexuality. And then she took
a writing class in early college where it was just like a pretty loose assignment, like write a screenplay, like write a 30-page play. What it was me starting to kind of just like explore myself through a really horrible script.
And what was the story the straight-A student wrote in order to explore her true identity?
This horrifying story about a good girl that resorts to a life of pill popping and stripping.
Okay, so not exactly her true identity. Here's Katie reading her college screenplay at King King in Los Angeles, featuring performances by Jamie Schrick, Josh Farrell, and members of the musical group The Girls, Serena Fialo, Juliana Gwil, and starring as the good girl turned stripper is Allison Brie, who many of you might know from shows like Community and Mad Men.
So tonight, helping me bring that script, the reflection I chose to see, to life, are tonight's members of the Mortified Community Players. I will be reading stage direction. Interior, Casey's bedroom, night. Casey is intently eyeing her canvas, then eyeing a mirror directly in front of her face. Numerous painted canvases line her small bedroom. This is a bedroom of an artist who likes order, much like Mondrian. Her roommate Allison enters. Allison is exceptionally pretty in the face, whereas Casey has interesting facial features.
Wow, Case. Yet another great work. So what do you call this one?
Allison takes a drag of her cigarette and then hands it to Casey.
I don't know. Maybe Casey sings the blues.
Yeah.
So as the scene continues, Casey tells Allison she's broke. Allison suggests Casey get a job that uses her skills as a painter. And then here's Casey's response.
Are you kidding? I'm just an amateur. I don't think I could ever show my artwork to anyone other than you. But God, I need to make a lot of money with minimal hours, and soon.
Interior, Redfinch Bar, night. Casey, Allison, and Adam, a friend, enter the local college hotspot. A handsome stranger approaches their booth and looks at Casey.
Excuse me, but I just had to come over here and tell you that you're the prettiest woman in here. Do you want to dance?
Sure, cutie. Let's go.
Casey and the handsome stranger descend the stairs to the dance floor where many sweaty couples are grinding on each other in a rhythmic manner. Allison and Adam watch Casey and her man dance.
Check Casey out. She's got moves. You know, if she can't find a job, she could always be a stripper.
A short while later, their friend Carrie shows up.
Hey there, Carrie.
Guess what, hot stuff? I lined up auditions for us both at Paradise tomorrow at 6 p.m.
You're kidding. How the hell did you manage that?
Adam looks confused, but interested.
Wait a minute. Audition? Where? For what? Fill me in, ladies.
Yeah, it's just some harmless dancing with your top off in front of guys that have money to burn. I'm not afraid. Besides, I've done nude modeling for art classes, and it wasn't all that bad. I'll make a ton of money.
The girls arrive for their first day of work. Interior, Carrie's car, next day, late afternoon.
God, I'm getting nervous. What if I can't do it, Carrie?
Carrie takes out a bottle of vodka and a small vial of pills.
Here, drink some of this and take one of these. This should take the edge off things.
Oh my God, Carrie, you're too much.
I know.
Interior Paradise, dressing room, same day. Rob, the Paradise Club manager, escorts Casey and Carrie into the dancers' dressing room.
And in here, ladies, is where you transform yourselves into every man's fantasy.
So, what now?
What now? You're gonna get ready, wait till you hear your name called, then you're gonna get your ass on that stage and start dancing.
When do we start taking our tops off?
I want you to get into the dancing for a few minutes. You know, tease the customer a bit. Then you take your top off. Then you proceed with the bottom shortly after that.
But I thought this was just a topless bar.
Baby, this is a topless bar, but do you really think that's all that comes off?
Hey, Carrie, babe. How about you pass me the vodka?
Before I call you out there, I just wanted to know if you wanted to be called anything different.
Anything different?
You know, anything besides your real name, Bambi, Pebbles, Kitty.
Wow. A chance to be someone different.
Interior Paradise, on stage, same night.
And now we've got a special treat. Straight from the woods, it's the beautiful Baby Bambi.
The music starts. A red spotlight turns on. Casey begins to dance.
Come on, baby, show us what you got.
Oh my God, I can't believe these guys. This is nothing like posing for art class.
The shot shows Casey's hand throwing her top to the side. The music stops. Casey freezes in a pose and the spotlight turns off.
I remember teacher's hours. She was talking to each student about their piece of writing. She's like, who is this character and what does she want? And like, why are you writing this? Why did you want to tell this story? And at that time, I probably told her, I'm just trying to kind of showcase this side of what it's like to be a college girl struggling. Some horrible line like that. I was very much still afraid to say that I was gay.
So the next morning, Casey awakes in her apartment wearing last night's stripper outfit, where her roommate Allison enters.
So how'd it go? Were you nervous? Did you freak out? Were you completely naked? What song did you dance to?
I don't know. It's kind of a blur.
Over the next few weeks, Casey's life continues to be a blur of stripping and booze. Interior Paradise dressing room.
Here's a little something to keep your spirits high.
Carrie hands Casey a tube full of cocaine. Casey dips her fingernail into it and inhales.
Don't you just love dancing in front of these guys? I just love the power I have over them.
I don't know, I guess. I look at me on stage as if I'm the subject in a painting. Each guy out there sees something different. They're different backgrounds. Give them different perspectives. Some like it, some don't. But they're all here to look.
Interior, Casey and Allison's apartment, day. Casey is drinking cocktails. Adam walks over.
Hey, Case, long time no talk. Listen, I wanted to submit some of your stuff to the annual gallery student art show. It's a great way for you and your work to get discovered.
Casey doesn't respond.
It's no use, Adam. Our friend is a stripper.
She doesn't care about us anymore.
Interior Paradise, on stage, night. Tonight, Casey gives the performance of her career. Something inside of her just sets her off, making each move even more dramatic than the last. The men in the crowd watch in awe, letting out loud roars. More people than ever are trying to give her money. The music stops and the lights go out. So a little later, Casey's depressed as she cleans out her locker. She looks into the mirror quietly as we hear her voiceover.
I identified with the girls there. They were just like me. I realized that in art class, strip clubs, or anywhere in life, people are just like me, struggling. Struggling to survive or to make ends meet. I couldn't lie to myself anymore about what I really want to do and what I really can do. My painting. That is the form of artistic expression I wish to continue. I'm not worried about rejection or what others think, because ultimately, it's always been about what I think about myself.
Casey puts the last of her locker's contents in her duffel bag and heads out the door. So a few years later, after graduation, I moved to Los Angeles. It was there I could do what I loved to do and finally try my luck at dating a girl. My first December in LA, I swallowed my fear, channeled that first college class where I could be risky with my writing, and I sent a Christmas e-card to a friend back in Indiana that said, "Happy holidays, I'm gay." Thank you.
That was Katie, reading aloud her college screenplay with the help of Jamie Schrick, Serena Fialo, Allison Brie, Juliana Gwill, and Josh Farrell in Los Angeles at King King. And for those curious, when they're not performing in scripts about pill-popping strippers or starring in big TV shows or films, Allison, Serena, and Juliana are part of a fantastic musical trio known as The Girls. Check out their upcoming gigs in New York and LA at thegirlswhosing.com. And stick around, there's more to the story as we chat with Katie in our postmortem, Fide. Now, there were a few burning questions we had to ask Katie. Like, what was her inspiration for writing a play about an artist turned exotic dancer?
Never have I ever wanted to be a stripper. I was living in an apartment in my college campus, and we lived below these kind of like party boys, and they had a friend who was a stripper. She was a good girl, like from a small Midwestern town as well, who was going to college, the same place I was, and I think kind of fell into just like a bad crowd for a bit and needed some fast money. She was very beautiful, and she, for whatever reason, really loved talking to me, and I sort of loved listening because I probably just wanted to look at her.
Having conversations with her stripper friend must have reminded Katie she was far from home. But what was her hometown friend's reaction when they received her coming out Christmas card?
Oh my God, all of my friends were so excited and so supportive. It's a bit of a shock, but for a lot of people, it was like, oh, this all makes sense. I think for a lot of people, yeah, it was this kind of nice, you know, that's why she was the way she was.
Katie's Christmas card revelation was akin to coming out in a Facebook post before Facebook existed. In fact, she believes if social media was around when she was in college, her coming out story may have looked completely different.
There was still fear of being denied by your family or friends or being rejected. It was before people were overtly supporting and celebrating their loved ones and being able to click like on someone, you know, a same-sex wedding photo or, you know, I think social media has enabled people in the last decade to support one another in that way. I think a small town grandmother seeing her friend clicking like or being in a photo with her gay grandchild and hugging that, you know, those little things in small ways, I think, add up to people starting to slowly accept this lifestyle.
And last year, Katie's life came full circle when her friends and family from her hometown gathered to celebrate a huge milestone in her life, getting married.
It was 4+ hours of nonstop dancing with no pause. I made sure, I was like, we don't want any awkward silences. And we also made the rule that there could be no slow dances. But my wife and I, we were busting out all of the moves on the dance floor. I guess I did have my chance to dance in front of a room full of people all watching me. I wasn't stripping, though.
Still, we had to ask, who was a better dancer, Katie or her stripper alter ego, Baby Bambi?
I mean, me. Hello. Definitely the better dancer, for sure.
To share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit the new and improved GetMortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. The Mortified podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Kathy Tu, Pierce Priscelli, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Catcher. Music by The Angel, Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, and Snake Snake Snakes. Additional thanks to King King, Aparna Kumar, and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work made the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.